Hey, everybody. Welcome back to It's Only Embarrassing If You're Embarrassed podcast, a podcast focused on normalizing everyday challenges such as mental health, addiction, grief, divorce, loss, and many more. I hope this episode inspires you to be your best self and to live your dream life one day at a time. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to It's Only Embarrassing If You're Embarrassed podcast. On today's episode, it is a Mental Health Monday episode. And if you are new here, Mental Health Monday episodes is where I unpack with you guys different things that I've learned as I've been navigating the journey of mental health, dealing with anxiety, depression, therapy, medication, all of the things. So on this episode, I was really thinking, like, what is one of the best just mental health lessons that I've learned? And I was realizing that one of the best mental health lessons that I've learned is that faith can truly replace anxiety. Like, faith and anxiety cannot coexist. They cannot exist at the same time. And so whenever you're in a state of anxiety and you interrupt that thought with faith, then you are able to interrupt that negative thought spiral, negative thought pattern, whatever that thing is that's keeping you trapped. Let's talk a little bit more about what I mean. We're just going to kind of unpack that concept in this episode. So anxiety, really at its core, is just a fear-based negative thought loop, negative thinking trap, whatever you want to call it. And anxiety is actually something that is good to an extent. Anxiety is your body's way of saying, hey, something's not right. We don't feel good. And this can happen. Maybe you feel a little nauseous. Maybe you feel a little lightheaded. Maybe you can't explain what you're feeling, but you know that it's not good. And really what happens is your body is saying, hey, we're in a state right now where we're not sure if we're safe. And so we're going to start having these physiological responses to what's happening in our environment. And so most of the time, anxiety is rooted in things that have not happened. Most of the time, anxiety is fear of the future, fear of losing things in the future, fear of gaining things in the future, fear of the future being different, a lot of different things like that. And so a lot of times we are stuck in these anxious thought loops, anxious thought spirals. And the thing that we're truly worried about hasn't happened. And to be honest, may never happen. So that's one just kind of really big lesson I've been learning in the world of just dealing with and managing anxiety. And so anxiety and certain other emotions or certain other things cannot exist at the same time. So I'm going to tell you what I mean. There's this concept that anxiety and gratitude cannot coexist. So I know you've had to have heard somebody talk about the concept of writing down a gratitude list or waking up and writing down three things you're grateful for. Whenever you do that, you are actually interrupting that anxious thought. And so basically you're not able to be anxious about the future and grateful for the present at the same time. And so there's a lot of things that I've just learned that interrupt anxiety and that really replace anxiety. And so I first started to learn about this concept when I started to learn about how, like, gratitude and anxiety can't coexist. And then I learned some different things just about channeling anxiety to kind of simmer down, all the things. And so that looks like I've learned that if you're feeling like you're going to have a panic attack, and you start counting backward from 100 by threes, something about the math that your mind has to do to count backward from 100 by threes, it's so complex that your mind can only focus on that. So your mind can't focus on that and having a panic attack at the same time. And so that's a fun fact I've learned. Another thing that I've learned cannot coexist with anxiety is the square breathing or the 4x4 breathing. So it is the concept of inhaling for four, holding for four, exhaling for four, and then holding for four again at the bottom. And that actually basically interrupts your nervous system. And it's proven that if you do that just a couple times, it will immediately calm you down. So I've been learning all these just kind of different things that you can use to combat anxiety. And I was thinking about how I could share those. And so those are some of the tips. But the most important thing I've learned is that faith always interrupts anxiety. And so I'll tell you guys, I've tried all of those things I just mentioned, and they've worked sometimes and not worked sometimes. Doesn't mean that it's foolproof. But what I have learned is the only thing that always works to combat anxiety is having faith and being spiritually fit. And so if you guys have been following along, you know I'm in AA, and AA is really a program basically of a spiritual reprieve to not want to drink or to be able to not drink for that day. And it's really just, you know, a constant thing that you're working on in your life, just as faith is. And so the ultimate level up for me was whenever I learned that I could replace anxious thoughts with faith, anxious thoughts with affirmations in God's word that I know to be true. And I'm going to tell you guys just some examples of how I do this and kind of how this has shown up for me. So an example would be, I, at 31 years old, have a reoccurring nightmare that I am I'm in college and I'm trying to graduate from college, but I can't because I forgot I was taking a math class, or I was about to fail the math class, or I couldn't find my math class to take the exam. All these different things happen, right? And it's the backstory to this is I actually did at one point think I wasn't going to graduate from college because I couldn't pass math. And the backstory is whenever you go into college, you take different, like, you know, SATs, placement tests, whatever. So basically, because of the way I scored on my SAT in math, I had to take a test to kind of see where I would fall in, like, the levels of math. And they said, you fall into the remedial math category, which means, like, I got a psychology degree at the time. And so to get a psychology degree, you just have to take, like, the basic, like, math 100. But they were like, before we could put you into that, you got to do remedial math. And so in order for me to take and pass, like, math 100, I had to take remedial math twice and regular math twice. And I remember whenever I was going through that, like, I took remedial math, I had to drop it because I was going to fail, took it again, finally got maybe like a B or a C. Took math 100, had to drop it because I was going to fail, took it again, got probably like barely a C. And so I remember, and like, I'd kind of like forgotten about it because it's been so long, but I had kind of like been almost taken back to that place in my dream. And so in that time, I did not have a good control on my anxious thoughts. And so at that time, basically the negative thought loop in my mind was, oh my gosh, I'm going to fail math. And because I'm going to fail math, I'm not going to graduate college. And remember, I grew up in the generation where, like, college, going to college was what you were supposed to do. It was how you guaranteed your success in the future, if you will. And so here I am, so nervous that I'm not going to graduate with my psychology degree because I can't pass math. And I just end up in this very just like negative, anxious thought loop. And I didn't really realize that's what was happening until it started to like manifest for me in nightmares. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's what was happening. And so at the time, I remember like, oh my gosh, this is so real. But now looking back, I'm like, that's so dramatic. I was like, literally made the jump from I'm not good at math to I'm going to fail out of college. So I'm never going to graduate. So I'm never going to get a good job. So I'm going to be poor. And how did we get from I'm not good at math, so I'm going to be poor? Like, how do those two equal? Like, and so that's just an example of how quickly sometimes our minds go through those anxious spirals if we don't check them, we don't realize what's happening, all the things. And so that is just such a dramatic just kind of way that anxiety unfolds. And what's funny about this story is I went on to get a master's degree and have never really needed that. And like still had a successful corporate career. Now I'm kind of, you know, building my own journey. And like, guess what? I'm still not good at math, and you can still be successful. Like, God gives you the talents and God gives you the abilities to do the things that He called you to do, not the things that you feel like you need to do to fit into a box or to be successful or whatever you think that the world thinks that you need to do. So I used to always kind of in this situation be like so worried about what can go wrong, what if, and then think of a what if, and then all the negative things that could happen. And instead, I'm trying to change that and say, okay, if we're going to do what ifs, what's the best thing that can happen? Because I love the saying, it's this or something better. A lot of times we're so caught up in, oh my gosh, things are spiraling, things aren't good, things aren't how I want them. But what's the best that could happen? Or what are some of the good things that are actually happening in your life? And I know that that's really difficult. Sometimes if you're really struggling with anxiety or depression, sometimes it can be really hard to see the forest through the trees is kind of the saying that goes with that. But you can truly retrain your mind and retrain your thoughts, reprogram, get rid of that negative self-talk, negative self-thinking. It'll take a while. I'll be honest with you guys. I didn't even know that you could choose your thoughts and change your thoughts and reprogram your mind until probably the past year, 2 years. And now I've been spending so much time doing that. And so what that looked like for me when I first started is I first started with listening to like an affirmation video while I was getting ready in the morning. So I'm putting on my makeup and I'm listening to one of those affirmation videos, repeating after it. And then once I started to read the Bible every day, that really just started to increase probably my level of self-confidence and also the level of knowledge that I had about how much God truly does love us, want to help us, want our lives to be fruitful and successful and all the things. And all the promises in God's word that he is going to do not just enough to get you by. He's going to do more than enough. He'll repay you for your troubles. You know, all these extravagant promises. And as I started to learn about all these promises in the Bible, I began to like incorporate that into my interrupting my negative thoughts. So maybe I'm having a negative thought loop that says, I'm not good enough at whatever it is, or I did this and it wasn't successful enough. I can replace that thought loop and say, God gave me the tools and the talents that I need to fulfill my calling. And if that thing didn't work, maybe that thing wasn't it. Maybe I need to try something different. Maybe I need to pray on it. Maybe I need to meditate on it. Just because I tried something and it doesn't work doesn't mean that I'm a failure, that I'm not good enough, or all these things that your mind tries to tell you are true. And another way that I think that some of these negative thought spirals will happen is with appearance. I know everybody can relate to, I'm not pretty enough, thin enough, my hair's not whatever enough. You know, like we all have these areas of insecurities, but a way you can, replace that one is you are made in the image of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And maybe this is like a good little chunk to just kind of like pause and maybe like come back to at a time where maybe you need these reminders or these affirmations, because these are some of the ones that I just use in my everyday life. And another thing that I've been learning as I've been reading the Bible, as far as like faith interrupting anxiety, is a lot of times we think that we have to have something somebody else has, or be like somebody else, or be different. And there's the kind of today saying of comparison is the thief of joy. But the reality of that is the Bible says, don't be jealous of others. Don't be lustful. Don't want what others have. Don't not think what you have isn't good enough. And there's just so many reminders in the Bible that what you have is enough, that you are enough, that you don't have to try to be somebody else or try to be somebody that you're not. And being able to be really confident in reading the Bible, the promises of God, whenever those negative thoughts creep in, I'm very easily able to identify them and then shut them down. Like, oh, this is a negative thought. That thought's not true. What's actually true is that God created me in his image, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, that I am beautifully unique and incomparable to others. That's one of the little snippets from the affirmations that I do. And another way this shows up for me is sometimes if I'm going through hard seasons of life, the anxious thoughts in my mind, they're saying, this is so hard. I can't make it through this. I can't do this. God, this is too much. And now I've learned that God will never give you more than you can handle. God will always give you the people, the ability, and the resources to navigate through any tough time you go through. And you will always be able to step into a higher calling that God has on your life if you're able to navigate and get through challenges with him and with his help. So I have one other little way that I actually practice this pretty regularly, and it is anytime you have like a reoccurring anxious thought, a worry, whatever it is, you can actually choose to give that to God. And here's what I mean. So for me, whenever I was really struggling to get sober, that is something that I had to give to God every single day. Whenever I first started AA, one of the first things I learned is if you want to stay sober, first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is pray to God that you will not pick up a drink that day. Pray to God to keep you sober that day. Because if you can stay sober that day, you can do all the other things that God needs you to do that day. And so that was a way that I immediately in the morning, I would give God my addiction. I would give God my anxiety. I would give God my fears. I would give God like the anger or resentment or whatever else was coming up in me. I would literally say, hey, God, I have all these things in my life that I can't deal with and I can't do and manage on my own. I'm going to give them to you. Please tell me what I need to do. And then I'm just going to give the rest to you. Because a lot of times we worry about things that aren't going to happen or are just going to take time or God's already got figured out. And we really don't have to worry about these things because God's already worked them out for our highest good. Anything bad that happens, God can repay you for your troubles. And a way that I do this a lot of times is if I'm meditating and I'm trying to meditate and I have like a consistent anxious thought come up, maybe I'm worried about money, I'm going to basically visualize myself saying, hey, God, I'm really anxious about my finances. I'll literally visualize myself like boxing up the worry of my finances and giving that box to God and almost like visualize God, like taking that and oop, now I've given God my finances. So if there's something he needs for me to do, then I do those pieces, but I'm not out working 100 hours a week trying to, you know, make something happen on my own that only God can make happen, you know? And that is something that is like a really, really good practice is if you notice that you're really anxious about something, visualize yourself giving that to God. If you are not really sure about God, visualize yourself giving it to your higher power, you know, whatever that is. And by doing that, you're literally releasing that worry, that care, and you're asking for guidance and for help on that thing. And I truly think anything that we ask God for help with, he will always help us with. It might not be immediate and might not be the way you want it, but he will always help you through that piece. So the next time you're meditating and a worry comes up, just literally visualize yourself boxing up that worry, that care, however you want to do it, give it to God. And just sometimes I have to do it over and over again. Like sometimes I'll be really anxious about something and maybe I'll have to do that 3 times during that meditation. And then maybe it'll come up for me 3 more times during the day and I'll have to do it 3 more times during the day. But then maybe the next day it doesn't come up for me at all during meditation and it comes up once during the day, you know? So once you do the hard work at the beginning and just consistently give those things over to God, then it gets easier and easier the more comfortable you get with doing it. So if you guys like this episode, where to start, affirmations and Bible reading, I'm actually going to link the affirmations that I like to do in the show notes. And if you guys don't have a Bible and you want to get one, I actually just got a brand new hand-painted Bible from Blessed Art Company, which is a hand-painted Bibles, Bible study, Bible journals, whatever you want. And so I'll actually link her and a discount code to be able to get a Bible if you want to get one in the show notes. I'll link the affirmations in the show notes. And if you guys don't follow me on Instagram, I do a lot of daily Bible readings, daily Bible verses, daily prayers, things like that. So if you guys want some daily inspo, daily tips, I'll link my Instagram as well to follow along in the show notes. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And as always, happy healing, babes. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of It's Only Embarrassing If You're Embarrassed podcast. I'm your host, Madison. If you want to get tuned into more episodes, you can click the follow button in the top right-hand side of your phone screen. This will actually notify you when new episodes are published. If you love this episode, please leave a 5-star rating and review. It really helps with the show. And last but not least, if you thought of someone during this episode that you were like, I really need my mom, my bestie, my sister to hear this episode, please share with a friend. And as always, happy healing, babes.